You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As Aotearoa holds one of the highest rates of family violence in the world, with an act of family violence reported every 4 minutes to the police, community workers are in urgent need for extra support out in the field. Now, Papakura Marae in South Auckland is taking a frontline ground-up approach to tackle this nationwide issue, trialling a groundbreaking family violence support and prevention program. Now, Marae Chief Executive Tony Kake has enlisted the support of Sir Ray Avery, the founder of the Charity Help at Hand Trust, to trial a domestic violence support program to protect his frontline social workers as they go about their work in the community. This gives them instant access to help if they need it and ensures all the frontline staff are safe from harm. Now, I spoke to Sir Ray Avery about this matter, and I started off by asking him about how he got started with the program.
Well, we've been running this program in Australia for a couple of years, and basically we've got a prison system where we can look after domestic violence victims who are subject to assaults. And in the last, say, 6 months alone, we've prevented probably about 8 young women from being murdered, because the response system that we've got is very, very fast. So we can usually get the police to attend an emergency response in 3 to 4 minutes, depending on exactly where they are. But basically, the technology is a wearable device that somebody can wear, which is inconspicuous. It can't be stripped off the victim. And then basically, if they're in trouble, they can press a sonon alarm, which opens up a conversation between the call centre and the police, and people can hear what's going on in the room, so they get a real sense of what's happening to that victim. We thought there was an opportunity to protect the frontline workers. When we spoke with Tony from the Marae, he said there was a real need, because a lot of his workers are going to very hostile environments. Sometimes they're counselling people, and in the process of counselling, people get quite animated, and sometimes they're at risk. And so they could see a use at that level as well for the actual counsellors to wear one, and they could just push the button silently if they felt they were getting into trouble. The other thing that it does is it tracks where you are, so you can do check-in, check-out times. So if somebody's going into a potentially hostile environment, they can press a little button. If they don't call in with a certain time, if they get abducted or something, then the police can be alerted. So it's a very clever, simple technology which makes people feel safe.
Family harm is responsible for approximately 40% of police time, not including the majority of cases in New Zealand that go unreported. Was this an influential factor when developing this program?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we pretty much either the first or the second highest domestic violence country in the world, depending on which stats you use, but certainly we're up there. And this is based on, of course, reported cases. What we know is a lot of the cases are unreported, so we've got a really major problem. We know that the lockdowns also increased the rate of domestic violence, with families being pressed together under stressful situations. The rate of domestic violence in our community was about 1 in 3, which is quite an alarming number. You know, 1 in 3 of Wahine particularly were getting abused, but it went down to 1 in 1. So, you know, you've got a 50-50 chance of, you know, having a little bit of a defo or something with your partner. So what we've got is a system that allows people, particularly when they've gone through the transition to separate, there's often a lot of stalking going on by the perpetrator. And what our device does, it means that if somebody's going to polytechnic or school, they're protected, and if somebody wants to try and attack them when they're out of their home. Because the current system, which is funded by the government, is only a home alarm, and it only works just inside the home. So it doesn't really provide personal protection when they leave beyond the gate. And I think that's the new technology that we're trying to get the government to adopt, because their cost to ACC is $6 billion a year in the cost of looking after people that are not only just physically are harmed by domestic violence, but mentally, and have to have mental counselling because of what's gone on. So we need to come up with some clever technologies. And I must say that Tony's team are absolutely fantastic and inspirational. They really are doing the hard work right out in the field. And Tony is particularly inspirational because he's leading this program and saying, look, I've got a program to trial the device. We've been trialed it so far. It's been successful with their team because they're learning how to use it. And then they'll train the people that they're looking after in the counselling programs to wear it for those families at risk. So it's a really good project.
Are there any difficulties you've encountered while developing this program?
Well, there are always idiosyncratic things that happen. We've learned a lot about, so for instance, the watch needs to be charged at a particular time. You choose a time when it's charged. If you take it off, so if somebody took it off, then we would know that they weren't wearing it. But we've had more cases of people tricking the system just for their own personal use. So in the in some circumstances where in rest homes, we're using rest homes, we've had situations where the person is in the rest home trying to get her son to call her and he doesn't return her calls on the normal landline. So she takes her watch off knowing that that will send an alarm to him and then he will call her. So, you know, sometimes people trick the system just for their own personal use. But there are no real cases of... it's a medical device, so it has to work. We use it for rest homes and people at risk in the medical centres. So it has to be clinically proven that it will work and there's no problems with, you know, pushing the button and it doesn't work, for instance. But what we can do is program the device for individuals' needs so they can turn it off if they go to the gym, for instance, and they don't want... So Tony could possibly monitor his staff 24/7 and see where they are, you know, but for privacy reasons, the user can actually switch it off if they go to the gym or something like that.
Obviously, the Papakura Marae has been working within the community in South Auckland. Has there been any interest to reach out to other domestic violence services?
Yeah, absolutely. But we have tried to engage with them at different levels, and also we put in funding applications to the government on two separate occasions, but we didn't get any uptake from the government in terms of any sponsorship. I mean, they're putting money into the same system that they have, which we know is not working, particularly with these issues of safety. So the current system is also overwhelmed. So what we're seeing in practice is that some of the larger organisations are putting families into emergency accommodation, which hasn't got any security in it because they've run out of secure homes where there's an alarm fitted and things like that. So they're put into what they call emergency housing, which could be somewhere in Rotorua, and the person that they're living next door might be a meth addict that's in recovery. So they're actually put into often more risk situations. So our lobbying the government is to say to them, look, the only way you can truly protect these people, and also often they're mobile as well, you know. I mean, some of these people have had to resort to sleeping in cars to escape the person that's tracking them. So we really do want to engage with government and get government funding or ACC. I mean, we could significantly reduce the cost of ACC claims if we could get this device in the hands of families who need them. So we're lobbying the government, and the purpose of this trial is to get some hard data around it, which mirrors what we've done in Australia. And then we can actually get this thing out at scale, which will make a huge difference to our domestic violence numbers.
Have you encountered any difficulties with people not coming forward? And how does this program navigate that?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, there's two parts to that question, really, in the sense that firstly, there's a lot of people who don't come forward anyway, you know, in the sense that they're shamed. And a lot of those ones are people that are in the white-collar working things. So we have lawyers and people like that that don't, they present at hospital, but they don't want to make a fuss in their own words about what's going on. So that's the first issue. And I think that's one where we're doing a campaign with our Help at Hand Trust to get people to encourage to say it's not your fault that this is happening to you, so speak out about it and ask for help, and then we can provide them with help. But in terms of adopting the technology, it's been when people have come forward. And what happens is the practitioners, we get referrals from some of the existing agencies and from people like Tony's group and others and individual ones that come through our website. And they're the ones that are asking for help. So we give them a free watch for 3 months so that they can wear it, and we'll monitor them. And at the end of that time, usually they're rehabilitated, and we can use that watch then and program it for the next person. So we can program the watches remotely from any different area.
Last question, Ray. Is there anything else you'd like to add on this matter which we haven't talked about already?
Well, other than get in touch with Tony's group or myself, people at Helped Hand, if you know somebody who's suffering from domestic violence, we're happy to give you a watch for free. And monitor you and look after you. And a lot of women actually feel very, very empowered once they've got the watch. It depends on their personal circumstances, but some of them actually use it as a defence mechanism and openly tell their partner that they've got it on and say, if you do bit me, I'm going to push the watch and the cops are going to come. Whereas other ones are wearing it discreetly and just having the confidence they can go to tech or they can go to work without fear of being abducted or hurt, and know that somebody's going to come. And sometimes they just use the watch because we can program it for individual people to look after each other. So sometimes it's just being able to talk to somebody in an emergency situation that you can get them to come round. So in some cases, that's why the response time has been so good, particularly in Australia. It's sometimes the caregiver is the person next door, for instance, the neighbour, and they can just push the button and the neighbour can come over and defuse the situation. And if necessary, they can push the button again and get the police. So it's very clever technology.
That was Sir Ray Avery speaking about his work with Papakura Murai surrounding a family violence support and prevention program. Additionally, there are various domestic violence helplines you can call. Women's Refuge at 0800 733 843, 0800 Hey Bro, or 0800 439 726. There is also the Family Violence Information Line at 0800 456 450, or Shine at 0508 744 633.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.